This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
1, 3, 2, 1.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly. On the Tee, Florida.
You're playing golf and you're going to like it.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a brisket?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf. From the PGA and LPGA to the WNCA and LIV.
We're waiting.
And now.
Your Honor.
Let's tee off with two pros and a hack. PGA professionals John Rager and Bill Buttner, and your host Mike Rickard, along with the entertainment squad, a colorful cast of characters.
You want to make $14 the hard way?
Now, everyone back up. Here's Mike Rickard.
Championship at Innsbruck. Actually, a poolside this afternoon, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka and, of course, Ferg's 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios and Michelob Ultra. They are one of the title sponsors of the Valspar today. We are live at Frenchie's at the pool. And that is correct. I said poolside at Frenchie's at the Valspar. Just about half a block or less than that from number 9, number 10, within walking distance of four holes. John Rager is here with me, of course. He is the PGA teaching professional. St. Augustine Beach typically is his perch on these shows. And Bill Buttner, who's usually chasing skirts at the Wine and Nine, he's actually in the house sitting next to me today. And it's great to have him. He was on the PGA Tour for 15 years, and he was all, I'm going to get creamed. And he also is the professional at the St. Pete Country Club and was at Eckerd College for 23 years. And I love him dearly, and he is Bill Buttner.
Thank you, Mike.
John Rager, what a great spot here, right next to Frenchie's. We'll probably take a dip in the pool when we're done here, a couple of hours. But a wonderful, wonderful weather. Great crowd for a Thursday. You couldn't ask for anything better, and we're right here in the middle of it.
Oh, what a great scene here at the PGA Tour Valspar Championship. You know, don't realize the history of this golf tournament, even though since 2000 it's been a stroke play event here at Innsbruck on the PGA Tour. Its roots go back to 1977, all the way back to the JCPenney mixed team. So this facility is probably one of the most favorite facilities that PGA Tour players talk about all year, in the fact that they love the difficulty of the golf course and they love the surroundings. And this is a community event. This is a Tampa Bay event. All the volunteers, all the companies involved. Earlier in the week, you had a lot of local celebrities. In fact, one local celebrity that's on the tournament committee here that that runs and sells this golf tournament is Rondé Barber, who was recently inducted in the NFL Hall of Fame. He's involved with golf now and involved with this tournament. So
Ronnie does a superb job, by the way.
Yeah, we're looking forward to a great weekend. In fact, the weather's just fine. You know, I know that you and I and Bill, we were out there watching Zach Johnson from Iowa.
God bless him. And the Drake Bulldogs, his alma mater, as they get ready to play a little March Madness tonight. They play Washington State.
Washington State. I saw somewhere.
Gave a little shout out to Zach as he walked by.
Yeah, he did. You know, and I guess everybody's yelling Bulldogs, you know, for Drake and everything. So, quite a few Drake Bulldog fans out there watching Zach. But one of the key things about a PGA Tour event like this is the date and the scheduling. Now, it's not a signature event. You know, you just got off the Players Championship, and the week before that, you had the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So, but yet
March Madness.
Yeah, and March Madness. But you still have a stellar field here, and there's a substantial prize purse involved, and you got a lot of younger players trying to work their way up, get those world ranking points, get the opportunity to get the FedEx Cup points, maybe win this tournament, get exempt through 2026, get into the Masters, get into the U.S. Open, get into the PGA. And do that. So it's going to be quite a shootout, I think, over the weekend.
Well, Bill, we saw Brian Harman come by, Xander Schauffele. We saw him get a double on 9, and then also Jordan Spieth. So right there is some of the three of the best golfers in the world in one threesome.
And the motivation is if you win this event, you do get invited to the signature events, which is really where the money and the points all add up quickly.
And later in the broadcast, we'll talk about the meeting in the Bahamas with Tiger Woods and the player directors with the PIF and Yasser, and they supposedly had productive meetings, which means that They probably didn't come to any agreement of anything, but they were over in the Bahamas. They snuck over the
They got along.
Week. They had it at Tiger's private residence over there, and we'll see what happens with that.
Well, in the show, of course, we will have our regular, and he is the assistant editor of Golf Week magazine, and that is our own, I claim him, our own Adam Woodard. He was going to be at this event. I just sent him a text that the weather was gorgeous, and he said, just rub it in. And then we also ran into a gentleman that you know well from Sports Illustrated.
Oh, Bob Herrig. Yeah,
Bob Herrig is going to join us as well. So we're going to have a couple of sports writers, golf writers that will join us to break down what's going on in the world of golf. And Bob right here, and he's got a new book coming out, and we'll be promoting that too. Seems like every other week we've got somebody we're promoting their book, and that's great to be the go-to for these golf authors.
Well, Bob is also a local here. You know, he started out with the St. Pete Times years and years ago, and we were just talking about in the media center how when he first started covering golf, you know, these newspapers all over the country had golf writers. They had staffs that they would cover.
They had staffs. They don't even have staffs any longer.
And he was talking about, you know, how a lot of that's diminished. But he's local here, and he's written a new book called Drive, The Legacy of Tiger Woods. It's going to come out May 26th, and you'll be able to pre-order it right now, actually, on Amazon. And he's going to be on the show, and he's going to talk a little bit about his book. He's actually written several books, and you can find him on SI.com. He's a regular writer for them and many other websites out there and publications. So it's going to be a real treat to have him here poolside at the Valspar Championship.
I will say this. It's been a treat to have you guys as my wingmen, because it's like old home week here for Bill Buttner and absolutely. John Rager. You know, we drove on into the property, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a struggle today. We're going to have some issues here as far as parking, logistics, not certain, uncertainty. And John's just telling me, calm down. Don't worry. Don't worry. And then we got to go pick Bill up in front of a bar. I don't know what's going on there. It was only, 1 o'clock in the afternoon? His car is parked there. Was it there overnight?
No. I arrived early this morning.
Oh, okay. Early this morning sounds worse than overnight. Anyway, we get on the property, and it's old home week, and we've been treated like kings, and that's because these guys have such a deep pedigree of success and friendships and alliances in the world of golf, and we were taken care of in the media room. Nice, I mean, very healthy spread for us for lunch, which I was impressed with.
We and our listeners out there, too, they probably don't want to hear about how nice the buffet was in the media center, but I will indicate.
Well, but this Frenchie's sign is just making me salivate.
We're actually sitting Frenchie's online. Actually, Frenchie's is a restaurant located in Clearwater Beach.
On the beach, baby.
I can tell you that they've it's perfect vendor for this. But getting back to the media center, Rick Odioso, the media director for this tournament, he's been a media director probably for the last 20 years.
He's a character.
And, you know, Rick actually has ties to the NFL. I first met Rick. He was a statistician for the Buccaneers. And he actually ended up doing that for the NFL, keeping the stats and working up new stats and things like that. And so he's done a masterful job here. You know, most of the national media is here in this tournament, even though it's not a signature event. Most of the national media is here. And, of course, it's a great time to be in Florida with spring training when we're driving up. Drove by, and the Phillies were having a spring training game. I know the Yankees have one Saturday, so if you're this is the peak time here. I know opening day is coming up soon. When's opening day at the 28th at the top of the Rays?
At 28th at the Trop against the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, actually, on Florida Sports Streams, which you're listening to on our RadioSt.Pete.com platform, we'll be doing a three-hour show from noon to 3 on Florida Sports Streams right out in the parking lot. I've got some former MLB players going to be stopping by, Toby Hall, Rick Vaughn, who is the former communications director, and now he is the president of the Joel Madden Foundation. Rick will sit down for a while. Joe Boudreau, actually the man behind RadioSt.Pete.com, he called a lot of baseball. That's his passion. Minor league, right out of college, and five decades later, decides to launch RadioSt.Pete.com. So he's got a passion for it, and we'll just grab some of the fans. But it's the Toronto Blue Jays who are predicted to win the East. We don't know what we got in the Rays this year, but a great time to be in the state of Florida. And, of course, Easter Sunday on the 31st, this early. I don't remember it being this early in May. Do you guys? March.
In March. No, it revolves. It goes, well, hey, while we got a golf show and we're talking about baseball, let's talk about last night's bourbon baseball
And cigars.
Sponsored by the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And the host sponsor was J.C. Newman Cigar Company. And we had a variety of bourbon vendors out there. But more importantly, we had some Major League Baseball players. We have Dag Magnadon. We had Clint Hurdle. And we had Wade Boggs, the Hall of Famer, who hit his 3,000th hit at Tropicana Field in 1999. And it was it's the first time that somebody hit a 3,000 hit career with a home run.
And he's a great cat.
Yeah, he is. And so they were on stage. So I thanked all the sponsors that supported at J.C. Newman Cigars. We were there at the Cigar Family Park right in the heart of Ybor City. Thanks to those baseball players that showed up. Thanks to all the people that sponsored it and benefited the local charities for the Florida Sports Hall of Fame.
I got to share this story because it is public. And I know Wade just kind of smiles when people tell it. Wade Boggs, I think when he was playing with the Red Sox, maybe the Yankees, and they won the World Series, he drank 24 beers from the time they got on the flight to the time he got home. And I know a guy that witnessed it, and he said that guy can pound some coldies. And he's a great guy, isn't he?
No, he's a wonderful guy. And, you know, actually, we had the privilege of Barry Smith and I to have him on our Mic'd Up Social podcast for about 45 minutes. And if you want to watch that, go to our website on the tfloridagolf.com or johnragergolf.com. There are links to it. But we had a great interview with him because he's got quite a past that has to do with his father in World War II. And it's a fascinating life story. You know, a lot of times we all think of Wade Boggs. Yeah, party guy, you know, baseball player, this, that, and the other. But he's a great humanitarian.
Great guy.
And he's got some great stories out there about
He always has time for the fans.
Yeah, he does. He does. And he spends a lot of time with everybody. So we're proud to have him. So that's the baseball report.
All right.
On the Tee Florida Golf.
Let's get back to our ice pick vodka.
It is a round ball, and you use something to hit it with, so it's close to golf.
Let's get back to our ice pick vodka leaderboard. You want to do that Valspar leaderboard? Since we're right here on the grounds at Frenchie's, there's our title sponsor, Michelob Ultra. Chris Lewis checking on things. Want to thank him for his support and, of course, distributor of ice pick vodka, who sponsors this this leaderboard. And, of course, Michelob Ultra sponsors John Rager's golf leagues down at Ferg's at the 19th hole simulators.
Well, we're looking at Kevin Streelman on top of the board here, and he won this tournament last year, I believe. So he's on top of the board at minus seven, and he's got he started on the backside first, so he's through 14 holes. So he'll finish up on the front side, but he's seven under par, so he's got four holes to go. And then if you go down the leaderboard here, some of them you know, some of you don't know. But let's go to Justin Thomas, top 10, minus three. Justin had a couple press conferences this week since he's one of the marquee players here, has won a couple major championships. And, you know, he's
had a tough week at the Players, man.
Yeah, you know, he did. But you know what? This is a tournament like last year. He just barely missed being able to play in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which if he got into that, he probably would have been able to be picked for the Ryder Cup, but he didn't get into it. In fact, I remember watching that last hole that he chipped in and out of the hole, and he missed the cut, so he wasn't able to, you know, to advance forward in the FedEx Cup playoffs. But he's here, so this is a tournament for him. I think that I wouldn't call it redemption, but he knows he needs to take advantage of every competitive opportunity he has to get back up in the top.
Where his game was?
At least the top 50. And his buddy Jordan Spieth, minus three also. He's got four holes to go. And we saw Jordan miss a few putts there on the ninth hole when he was coming
down.
How
about poor Xander Schauffele?
A little double bogey coming up nine.
That's a tough hole.
It is because it was playing downwind and it was uphill, so they didn't know which one was playing more.
Hey, one of the highlights of the round two, we watched Adam Hadwin pull out from the bunker.
And he was in a tough spot. He was almost up against that lip, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was going to say he was standing right on that facing of that bunker.
How many times do you think you played this track, Bill Buettner?
Oh, wow. When I represented it for many years with John Houston and Gary Koch and Dale Eggling.
So when you say represented it for the audience out there that doesn't understand that, which I didn't, but I acted like I did. What do you mean represented? You're playing out of here?
I was playing out of here.
Gotcha,
and
okay.
Wearing the Innsbruck clothes, wearing an Innsbruck hat, everything about all your logos.
So you are home, brother. You are home.
I am home, absolutely. But
you don't know how the hell we're going to get back to our car, but you're back
home. I don't know where your car is, so that's half the battle.
Well, I don't either, so it could be a long night.
But I probably played 500 rounds here.
Oh, my gosh. And you know, the more I hear about the JCPenney's, you just brought it up, John, the more I hear about it, people raved about it.
Oh, it was fun. It was.
They couldn't find another sponsor for that?
I'm sure JCPenney was starting to feel the effects of everybody else's big-time box store.
Well, I understand that, but I would have thought someone else would have wanted to take the mantle and run with it since it had a successful history.
Well, you know, it was a great tournament, but at the same time, you know, when the key to a successful PGA Tour event, obviously, is the sponsor, and it's the fans, and it's television, but more importantly, it's that group of people that put this tournament on as volunteers. And I'm not even talking about the people who are, you know, rangers and starters and Marshall Gallery and, you know, driving the courtesy car. We hope to get back to our car tonight.
My man, Kip.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is that group of people. It's a group. It's an organized group that has to go out and sell this tournament. They're the ones who have to go sell the spots in the
pro-am
to raise the money and to get the purse and
the price point's not cheap.
And so just like, for example, if you think about I believe out in Tucson, I think it's the Thunderbirds.
Yep,
that do
yep.
that. Okay,
and they've been out there for 40 years. The Thunderbird group.
Well, they call this group the Copperheads.
Yep.
And so
they
this
do?
Group is yep, actually evolved from the group that did the JCPenney throughout the years, and they've evolved into the Copperheads. And that was the group. That's a group, for example, Rondé Barber is on, the NFL mm-hmm. Hall of Famer from the Buccaneers. So he's part of that group. So they got to raise the money. They got to get this thing going. So what happens is, back in that time, I think what you found that the PGA Tour actually came to them and said, hey, listen, you know, we've got some other sponsors here that would love to have a PGA Tour event in Tampa Bay because of the popularity of the JCPenney tournament. So it's just it's an evolution. It just happened.
Everything was in place.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's no different than, remember the one of the you know, the events on the PGA Tour, like the BC Open, the Quad City Opens.
I remember the BC.
Well, those
of course
used to
I remember
be,
the Quad Cities. Now the yeah. John Deere Classic.
Right. That's right.
So, Enjoy golf course.
But like the BC Open is actually now a Champions Tour event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it evolved and it grew into that. So that's why I think what happened here, and you know, back in 2000, they created a PGA Tour event with that same civic group, that organizing group that made it happen.
Yeah, everything, all the volunteers are in place, everything is in place. But like you say, I have a feeling they, when they came to the end of their contract, they were approached by somebody with bigger dollars saying, hey, if you have a men's PGA Tour event, you can run this a little bit better.
Hey, our wingmen, Steve and Kenny are leaving. Give us a traffic report when you get going there, boys.
I'm busy.
Yeah, it's going to be busy. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh,
but you gotta
you're
tell,
fine,
you know,
you're fine.
You got to tell our wingman.
But that's where I think the PGA Tour, and again, the game of golf was growing at the time, and the area, Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater, was growing fast enough to entertain hosting another Florida event. And it's a great, like you say, it's a great month to be in Florida. They start down at, used to start down Doral. This year they started PGA National, and they spend 4 weeks in Florida.
Yeah, well, and this tournament also, Tampa Bay is known for its vast military community. You have so many retired veterans and active military live here because you have MacDill Air Force Base. And they do a lot of things for the military here. You know, you get discounted tickets, free tickets.
I think almost every tournament does that down here. It's pretty cool.
Special access to hospitality and things like that. And so, you know, it's one of those things, too, that this truly is a community tour event. It's one of those events that it's almost good. And I don't mean to say this the wrong way, because that it's not a signature event. Because a signature event, there's so much money that you have to have in the purse. And all of a sudden, it changes the whole essence of it. This is just a wonderful community event.
This is a signature event as far as the people of this community are concerned.
You know, and it's a lot like NFL football. You don't really root for the team. You root for the city that you're in, and it happens to be that team. Well, it's the same way here. You know, the players, the community comes out. They don't care who's in this tournament. As long as PGA Tour, it's good enough for them, and they have a wonderful time, and they root on their favorite players. They make new players, too. They have new players that they, you know, become fans of.
You're listening on the T Florida on our Radio St. Pete.com platform, on our sports channel, Florida Sports Stream, and you'll be seeing a lot more content coming out of Florida Sports Stream. Just go to Radio St. Pete.com, and you'll be able to hear on the T Florida six times per week. Our flagship, our cornerstone is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We've also got Big Monday, and that's live from our sponsors down at Sea Dogs Brewery, and then our youngsters with Bump That Media on Fridays at noon, and they're going to have a great show this tomorrow, actually, as they'll be talking March Madness. It is March Madness. Bill Butner, you have not given the news your Tar Heels. How bad did they wallop poor Wagner?
They snuck by. They got through in the last couple of possessions to get by.
Why, about 25?
40, I think.
Yeah. Well, bravo, Wagner, for having the kahunas to participate in at this level now. Anyway, our flagship on the radio side, the radio network, is WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340, right down the street here. And Matt on the controls doing a superb job. That's Tampa, Clearwater, and St. Pete, along with WZHR FM 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350, and then, of course, Lake City, Gainesville, WGRO AM 1250, and WDSR AM 1340. All this brought to you by the title sponsor, Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, and, of course, Shipyard Brewing as well. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the Players' Championship, the 50th last week, and what a performance again. Back-to-back, Scotty Scheffler.
From behind, which is, you know,
six behind.
It was not his normal victory. He normally was, you know, tied for the lead, in the lead.
Kind of like Tiger used to do.
Yep, and walked away. This time, he posted a score, and nobody could catch him.
I love that guy. I mean, what's not to? I mean, he's humble. He's focused. He's family oriented. He's not brash by any stretch of the imagination.
And he's good.
He's just a machine.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he's very,
damn
very good.
Good. What impresses you the most as a pro looking at Scotty Scheffler's game?
Well, it's the ball striking. Obviously, it's week in, week out, day in, day out. Everybody on tour can swing a golf club. The question is how many days can they put it in a row? How many weeks can they put it in a row? I was good enough to maybe have one or two days a year to put it together.
Yeah, but you're still on the tour, brother.
But that doesn't mean you do what Scotty Scheffler does. Scotty does it basically every day, where it's in the fairway, it's on the green, it's giving himself a chance to make birdies. And it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, you know, at the press conference afterwards, somebody had asked Scotty Scheffler about, you know, how dominant it is right now. You know, how he's the number one player in the world, and he's, you know, like, won the last seven of the last 13 tournaments, and he's dominating like Tiger Woods was dominating. Scotty came out and says, listen, I've got 13 more majors to go and 70 more PGA Tour events.
That was a great response.
And, what, 11 more years as number one.
That's right. 11 more years as number one to tie Tiger. So he's very humble on that. And you know what? When he came off the golf course and they started interviewing him, it wasn't like, you know, like a lot of players are like emotional about it. And
he's matter of fact.
He was just like, yeah, I expected to win. Yeah, I expected. Yeah. And, you know, I like his style. He's got that Arnold Palmer flash style. You know, I mean, you know, he's actually very, very well balanced. But you wouldn't know it after he hits the golf shot because it looks like he's ready to fall down. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It looks like he's coming out of his shoes. Yeah.
But he can hit it right to left. He can hit it left to right. He can do whatever the shot calls for.
When he's doing that and his putting's on, that's when he's unbeatable, right?
And he got that new putter 2 weeks ago, and that's been the answer.
Well, you know, went for the mallet, I guess, is, you know, and our listeners out there may not even know what a mallet is.
I even know what the mallet is.
You know, it's something that looks like half of an apple on the end of a stick or something could be the best way to describe a mallet.
First time I saw him, I thought, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I remember there's a famous putter designer, Ray Cook. And he came out, he had a whole line of mallet putters. And I can tell you in the 40-plus years of my career as a PGA golf professional, I tried every putter you could possibly try. I've tried every putter. I've tried every putting style.
Thinking that was going to be the solution?
And you know what? It's interesting. And with Scotty, he needed to do something just different with a different putter. I don't think he's changed anything in his stroke. I think it's just something different to look at. And whatever it did, it works for him.
We're on the tee, Florida. We are live from the Valspar Championship poolside in front of Frenchie's. The girls are getting ready to tear down here, but I think they'll let us stay here till we finish up at 7 o'clock. We're going to take a break coming up here in a few seconds, and then we'll come back with Adam Woodard, and he'll break down the world of golf. Of course, we've got the Hoag Classic on the Champions Tour, one of my favorite about anything on the Champions Tour. And then, as you know, we're watching Snedeker, watching Sneds and Cooch. I'm thinking, in just a few years, these cats are going to be on the Champions Tour. That's how long we've been watching golf.
Well, you know, Mike's fallen into that golfish thing, Sneds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Cooch. Hey, hey. Yeah,
you know, he's going to start calling Riviera Country Club the Riv.
No, I never go there.
You know.
I like rich in tradition, and I want to hear the Riviera Country Club, yeah. Not the Riv. I said I had I used to drive Riviera cars. That was a Riv.
But Brent Snedeker is different.
No, he's Sneds.
Oh, okay.
I used to make fun of him because he cried so much. He's a crier, I felt bad about it when he first came on the scene, and he won his first one crying. Wins the green jacket, bawling. I mean, which, who wouldn't, I guess, emotionally, if you're that kind of a person. But I used to hammer the poor guy. But I guess he's a great cat. And Zach Johnson, even, they're close friends. So if you're a close friend of Zach's, yeah, I'm sure you're a good human being. All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll have Adam Woodard. We'll be back on the T Florida live from the Valspar Championship poolside at Frenchie's. That's right. I said poolside, not Clearwater Beach. Frenchie's poolside on the Valspar property.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to On the Tee Florida. Two pros and a hack. Bill Butner to my right. To my left, of course, John Rager, the two PGA of America teaching pros, the guys that carry the show on a weekly basis while the hack just opens his pie hole and we rock and roll. Of course, we are live on our flagship, 106.1 FM, AM 1340, and then, of course, RadioSaintPete.com, the platform, and Florida Sports Streams, our sports channel. And you're going to hear a lot more about that in the coming months. And John Rager helps me with that process as well. We talked about the leaderboard. And when you take a look back at that players, I still wanted to finish that conversation. We focused on Scottie Scheffler. But, man, what a lot of movement there was the last 2 days on that leaderboard.
I was going to say that it's the cream came to the top. Everybody kind of had the lead,
which is what they needed for eyeballs.
Oh, no, look at the last hole. Look at the last hole when Wyndham Clark had that spin out, lip out on the last hole. It came down to that, and you know, so the Players Championship lived up to you know, one of the premier events on the PGA Tour, and it went very well. But interesting enough, the viewership was down.
And I'm wondering why. I saw that.
Well, I don't know why that is. You know, maybe Adam Woodard can answer that question for him when he comes on later.
Do you think it's from the previous weeks of so many no names as far as the general public watching and saying, I don't even know these names. They've lost interest. They used to channel surf to see Lefty, to see Tiger, the John Daly, the personalities. And they're really, as we've said, no. right now because of the LIV separation from the PGA, and there's really no personalities, characters. I mean, even look at Scottie Scheffler. Superb golfer, great job, but kind of blah in the interview conversation. He lives a good guy's life. Well, that's not what the audience wants.
Well, you know, our good friend Barry Smith, Florida Sports Hall of Fame member, you know, friend of the show here, and Barry, his wife Mary Ann, you know, she's a
I love her.
She's attorney here in the Tampa Bay area and a longtime attorney, and she's not a golfer. I gave her a golf lesson once because she wanted to surprise Barry, and she took one lesson, and it's probably my teaching prowess. She just gave it up. But I tell you, but she's a fan of golf in the sense that she likes to watch on television.
And a lot of women do.
And so when Tiger, in his heyday, anytime Tiger was in the tournament, she was watching. Okay. Well, now he's just not there. I mean, he's, you know, he might play, he might not play. You know, she'll probably watch the Masters just because of that. So, hey, but you know what? We've got a special guest walking up to the pool here. And watch your step there. We don't want you to fall in, but there's plenty of beach balls. But, hey, take a seat.
Yeah.
We have Bob Herrick here. Bob Herrick is a national sports writer for Sports Illustrated, actually. Started his career here in St. Petersburg at the St. Pete Time. I think I was a junior golfer and he was writing about golf, and I know I'm a senior golfer now. Hey, look, you got a butterfly right on your shoulder there.
Oh, look.
That's good luck.
That is good luck.
I think that is good luck. But
I had my great father-in-law writing down there with Jimmy Mann doing all his things with the Independent.
Jimmy Mann. That's Jimmy the name the man I haven't heard for so long.
What a guy.
County Golf Association.
Yep. County Golf.
Do they still do the County Golf Association?
I don't think so. I think they run their gamut. I don't see them. They don't play at St. Pete Country Club. They don't play locally, to my knowledge.
That was such a great program, too. Yeah.
Hey, but let's make sure we introduce
Bob. Let's do an introduction of this young man.
So we have Bob Herrick, SportsIllustrated.com. Longtime sports writer, golf writer, author of several books, and you've got a book coming out that's going to be released May 26th. It's called Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods.
Yeah, actually next week, March 26th.
March 26th. Yep. See, this is what happens. I need to look down through my bifocals and clear that up. But yes, March 26th. And so, Bob, welcome to On the Tee Florida, and would love to listen a little bit about your book. But first of all, just tell us about yourself, your career, and before you get to the book, because we like to listen to it, because we know you and we know your work. But our listeners,
and I don't know you, so I need some information.
And you know what? We got a lot of young listeners.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school in Chicago suburbs. Went to Indiana University. I was an Evans Scholar.
You're a Sycamore, baby.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Evans Scholar.
Hoosier.
Evans Scholar. Is that
You went to Indiana, not Indiana State.
Yeah. Indiana State played last night and looked good, actually.
Yes, they did.
No, Evans Scholar, that's the Western Golf Association.
Right, correct.
That's where they give caddy scholarships.
Right.
So you actually grew up caddying at a
golf
course.
I did.
Where at?
A place called Inverness Golf Club in Palatine, Illinois.
Wow.
Hey, you know what? I got to interrupt this. Right now, Adam Woodard is on hold, and we bumped him for you. He said that you know Adam.
I do know Adam.
Say hello to Adam. I feel bad. We got to get him some headphones. Adam, come into the conversation.
Come on, Adam. You and Bob are going to talk here.
You're too valuable to our team to kick you to the curb, and Bob knows you. So, Adam Woodard, of course, the assistant editor of Golf Week magazine, and then we're sitting across from a Sports Illustrated. We got royalty on the air right now.
I thought I was going to get bump at him. Didn't want him on here at the same time. This is, but since you're on, it's okay.
I should have been down there in person. I mean, to have an 11th hour change in schedule, unfortunately. But I wish I could have been there with you guys in person. And Bobby, always good to talk to you, buddy. How we doing? Pretty good first day out there, huh?
Very nice. Absolutely. Yep. Great course and underrated course and really good tournament. Yeah.
Hey, while we both have some of the leading golf writers out there, we're going to throw out some things because I know you both have been written articles recently about the big meeting between the PGA Tour directors, including Tiger Woods, with PIF and Yasser over in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
So what to make of that? I have no idea. I mean, I read the headlines. I look at it. I have no idea what they're talking about over there because you can't really get information. What are you guys gleaning from that?
Well, I would throw out first that my reading on it is they're nowhere close. The fact that the players are first now meeting Yasser and trying to ascertain what he wants suggests that it's going to be a while. I mean, I would have thought a lot of that would have been done by now. But it sounds like they focused on the investment from SSG first. And that isn't something that happens right away. That was going to take time. And now this is the next step. But that next step is going to take a while.
Adam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd agree with Bob in the fact that, you know, these conversations probably should have happened a long time ago, but they obviously, like you said, prioritized the SSG, had to get them in first. I guess that kind of makes sense, that the fact that, you know, they're kind of being brought in to help amplify the money that's being brought in, but also potentially dilute the Saudi investment to make this deal a little bit more palatable for the U.S. government. You got to remember the Department of Justice and the U.S. Senate are very interested in what's going on, as we've seen from the Senate hearings that have happened in the past, but I think it's good that they've actually met and they've had a chance to kind of talk a little bit, seeing some of the reporting and reading Bob's what he's written and talking to people that I've talked to. Didn't seem like there was a whole lot of, you know, details that were caught in through there, but the fact that they're meeting is a step in the right direction, but I wouldn't be holding our breath for a deal here anytime soon, that's to be sure.
Well, here's something confusing. You know, I'm a PJ of America member. We're a 501c3, and you know, one of our big bones of contention is that we've never had a pension plan, you know, for club pros, because everything, it's called inurement. You have to go back to 1937 and pay taxes and this, that, and the other. But watching the PGA Tour, it's a very similar setup. The PGA Tour has always been about have to go to the player's pension fund, and these 501c3s, they spend a lot of money on doing a lot of things. I'm really confused about what this for-profit thing is. I mean, what happens to the main core purpose of the tour is to raise the money and also benefit
community charities, involvement,
but benefit that player's fund. Well, what is this for-profit thing? What are they doing differently? Where's that money going to go?
In theory, they're going to be separate. They're still going to be a non-profit PGA Tour Inc. And it'll be this tournament, Valspar, and the tournaments that we see week to week. Most of them will be set up still as 501c3s. There might be some that are set up as for-profit, but they will still earmark funds for charity. And the actual PGA Tour Inc. will remain a 501c6. PGA Tour Enterprises, which is for-profit and has had, we're talking about over $1.5 billion in investment, up to $3 billion from SSG. If the public investment fund puts in even that much, we're talking a lot of money that has to have a return and then beyond, to take care of the players. And so I've been saying all along, what will that be? It has to be something huge, because how do you make that money back? You're not going to make it back making little millions and hundreds of thousands here, there, everywhere. You need to have a huge thing. I mean, you know, possibly the tour and the DP World Tour, get a piece of the Ryder Cup. That would be one way. I think there has to be some sort of a competitive outlet that can get huge TV rights, brings all the players back together for a series of 6 or 8 events like Rory's talked about. Those would be, you know, he's likened it to the Champions League in European soccer. I don't know what Adam thinks, but I mean, there has to be something separate. It can't just be what we have right now. I mean, could they fold Live into it? Yes, possibly smaller. But if those teams are sold to owners, that's been their model, franchises, that's a profit center. But that gets us back to why there seems to be such a long way to go to get this decided.
Adam, your perspective.
Yeah, once again, I hate to keep playing second fiddle to Bob here, but he's a smart guy, so I'm aligning with good people. But yeah, the money has to come through, and I think that's one of the big questions that was asked of Jay Monahan at his annual State of the Tour press address last week at the Players' Championship. Was they had someone directly asked him, you know, how do you plan on getting this money back? And there was a whole lot of, you know, saying a lot of words with not a whole lot of an answer. But like Bob said, having to sell these franchises, I think the PGL could come into play with this if they're able to sell and able to grow that, if they're able to get that off the ground. Obviously, they had their issues with the stadium last year. But they need, like Bob said, money has to be coming in, because the one thing that you need to remember is, yes, a lot of these guys have a lot of money, but they also spend it wisely, and they don't want to just be losing money and lighting it on fire. Say what you will about Liv, but everyone who works for them, they genuinely believe in that team format. They genuinely believe that they can make these franchises into something, and they'll tell you, we're only a few years in. If this team format can somehow take off, I'm not saying exactly like Liv is, but there is a way that I think team golf can be incorporated, whether it's a couple events of a year, if it's broken out throughout, kind of like, you know, Bob mentioned, you know, Rory's talked about European soccer, that NBA in-season tournament that they did. They could have events running concurrent throughout the season. There's different ways that they can do this, that they can try and make more money off of it. But creating those events is also going to cost money, too. So there has to be that return. So it's really up in the air, and there's so many different ways they could go about this. But you know, you can't say it enough that it seems like, you know, the more information that we get, it seems like the further that we are away from actually getting this thing to be put into practice here.
Well, I guess if you have $10 trillion, you can even make the lingerie football team work, a football league.
But, you know, that came out like, you know, hey, you're listening on the T Florida, Two Pros and a Hack. Of course, I'm the Hack, Mike Rickard, joined by John Rager and Bill Butner. We're here each and every week on our flagship 106.1 FM, AM 1350, and, of course, our streaming sports channel, FloridaSportsStream.com, and we're blessed to have a couple of journalists that have their finger on the pulse. Of course, Bob Herrig, right here sitting across from us at the Valspar Championship, poolside at Frenchie's. As I said, poolside, Adam, I'm rubbing it into you again, buddy. You're supposed to be down here. And Frenchie's is noted for being on Clearwater Beach, but we've got the pool, and you're sitting in your condo and watching, I'm sure, March Madness on one television and with Valspar on the other.
Of course, yeah. And I got a beautiful view out of my balcony here in Raleigh, North Carolina, but it certainly isn't beautiful, beautiful Clearwater, that's for sure.
Well, you're making Bill Butner just smile from ear to ear. His Tar Heels took on an NAIA team today, Wagner, and he's proud of that. But anyway, so let's take time to promote your book a little bit more.
Okay, that's great, Adam. I'm sorry to put you through this. It would be nice if you'd buy it, but I don't expect you to.
Hey, it's only $23.36 right now.
Yeah,
list price $39. Releases March 26th.
Yeah. So it's kind of tied to the 5-year anniversary of Tiger's Masters win, which is coming up, believe it or not. It's been 5 years.
Did he play in the Valspar that year?
No, he played the year before.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, I think it was 2018. He finished second, right?
He did.
And
that was only his fourth event back.
I bet the crowds were crazy up here.
That's chronicled in the book because it was only his fourth event after the spinal fusion surgery. And the idea for the book sort of generated from how incredible that comeback was and sort of a deep dive into looking into the surgery and all that he had been through. And as I started to think it through, it expanded into, you know, what really has made Tiger, you know, the champion that he is. Obviously great skill, incredible player, really strong work ethic, but there was a drive, you know, resiliency, never quit. And I have, you know, numerous examples in the book of all those instances throughout his career. Obviously, coming back from spinal fusion surgery to win 3 times, including the Masters, is sort of the big example. But there's a lot of others. He made 142 straight cuts. 7 years, he didn't miss a cut. You know, his very first Masters, he shot 40 for the first 9 holes. A lot of guys would be done. He ends up winning by 12. He won a U.S. Open with 2 fractures in his leg at Torrey Pines. Even coming back from the car crash to make the cut 14 months later at the Masters when he could barely walk, and he made the cut last year too. He actually got tied for the record of most consecutive cuts at 23. If he can make the cut this year, he'll have the all-time record for made cuts in a row at Augusta. So the book is all of those examples and more, and With obviously the big hook, we're 5 years out since that epic win.
As you wrote the book, did it go through your mind on whether you think that he can win another major before he's 50? Because you were getting pretty in tune to what makes him successful. But now, given all of these injuries and the obstacles ahead of him, did you ever consider, you know?
Yes, I sort of leave the door open for it, but, you know, I think realistically, If you can't prepare properly, Tiger, if you can put him at the ball, he can hit the shots. He still is an elite iron player. He gets the ball out there off the tee. If he can practice, he's got a great short game. But the problem is he can't practice and compete. And you're going to go out to the Masters in a couple of weeks and play against Scottie Scheffler, who's been playing, you know, 5-6 tournaments this year, practicing, competing. There's just no way for Tiger to replicate that. And that's why him not playing at the Players last week was sort of a disappointment.
Indication.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why he didn't, There was no indication that he was physically not maybe.
Well, he hasn't had a whole lot of success there, though, has
he? Yeah, well, he's won there twice, and he could have used the work no matter his success. He needs to get in the arena and compete, and he's not done that lately. And look, he looked pretty good in the Bahamas, I thought, in December. You know, he walked 4 days. He was so much better. But this juggling of trying to recuperate and recover and ramp up combined with not playing enough and not competing is just detrimental. Could he get to the point where he could play a little bit more possibly? Can that leg get better? Maybe. He had laid out a one-month, you know, one tournament a month schedule for this year, and he's already broken that. So, you know, I think Tiger has one magical moment left. I'm not necessarily suggesting it's a win, but, you know, when Jack was 58, he tied for sixth at the Masters. He beat Tiger the year after Tiger won his first Masters. I think Tiger could do something like that. He could give us a back.
Some magical thrill. Moment for all of us.
Yeah, he might get in contention at Augusta or at an Open where I think, you know, playing Lynx golf is probably suited. A U.S. Open seems very, very remote at this point. A PGA Championship, too much rough. You know, he can't get sharp enough, I don't think. So, but, you know, again, you sort of doubt him at your own peril.
Well, when you do doubt him, that's when he typically does something that the naysayers just shake their head and bravo. How long did it take you to pen this?
I think the whole process was about about a year. It was about a year.
Well, that's pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, it was a little quicker than I would have liked. It was because my publisher wanted to get it out before the Masters, and there's a long lead time, so it had to pretty much be done last summer. And then there was a lot that went on throughout the fall, but from the time of the idea being conceived to it being kind of done, it was about a little over a year.
You know, I think a question our listeners would like to ask is, and it's a general question, but yeah.
Are they texting you right now, John, on our text hotline?
That's right. And it's blowing up right now with this one question, is that how do you write a book? I mean, how do you write a golf book? Write a book in general, because you've written how many books?
This was my second.
Your second book. So, what is it like? How do you write a book? I mean, what do you do? I mean, what's do you just pull out a sheet of paper, start writing? What do to write a book?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if I did it the right way or not. I mean, I'm still scratching my head. You know, you second guess. You think about things that you forgot, you missed. Well, maybe I should have talked to that guy. The key is having an outline, sort of having a plan, it might not work out this way, but you have a chapter outline, you have some areas that you, and then for months I just reported.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to interview people. I did research. I made calls. I've made follow-up calls. I looked things up. I found stuff that I had written about Tiger, about the various tournaments I've covered, tried to uncover some nuggets. And that process takes a while because, you know, I'm still working my normal job and trying to fit that in. And then there comes
I bet the wife loves that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's listening, too.
Yeah. She's, well, hey, you know, she's asking, when are you going on the road again?
So, we know what PJ stands
Adam
for.
Adam doesn't have to worry about that yet, right, Adam?
You know what PJ stands for? Pro gone again.
That's right. That's
live
right.
That life.
And then comes a point where you say you've got to start writing, even if you're not done with the reporting. And then you just have to make progress.
Discipline.
You've got to really, you know, what I've learned is you got to really, like, let too many days go by where you don't do something. You're either going to write 1,000 words, you're going to make a call, you're going to look something up, and keep checking boxes. Otherwise, you're going to be writing a lot when it's due.
Well, you're from the area now. I guess we could say that, even though you're a Chicagoan. Have you ever had the opportunity to run into Peter Gallenbach? Peter Gallenbach has written 40 books.
40 books.
40 books, and he comes in. He wrote Bronx Zoo.
Yep.
He's been on the New York bestseller 25 times. He comes on my other show probably once a month, talk baseball or sports in general. And this guy's 78. He's a machine. He just came out with another book, and I asked him, and he kind of the same plan you had. He said, I I decide I want a topic, and then I just start plugging along, and I map it out, and then it all comes together.
I mean, John Feinstein's another one who's written.
I love John Feinstein.
40-some books. It's incredible. I mean, you know, it about kills me, so I don't know how these guys do it. It's in the middle of it, you're sitting there saying, why did I do this? But you know, once it's done, it's a satisfying feeling. I hope Adam gets to experience
it. I was going to say, Adam, when we expect your first publication?
Tough enough writing 3,000-word essays for magazines, let alone doing that, you know, 12 times over for a book. So I'll leave that to Bob for now, and I'll take a...
That's the way to look at it. Think of it as I sort of did, like, if you have a 20-chapter book, you're writing 23 to 6,000 word stories, you know, and you just sort of
is that the typical length for you guys?
Well, no. I mean, like a normal story might be 800 to 1,000 words.
Gotcha.
But like a long feature might be 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 words. That can take weeks. So like if you to report that and write all that, but I mean, that's sort of how you have to, that's how I looked at it. I looked at each chapter as like a long feature. That helped me with it because that's what I'm more used to doing. And you just focused on that. And then once you got done with that, you're moving on to the next one.
Hey, Adam, did we interrupt anything with you? Because if you don't mind, I wouldn't mind holding you over into the next hour after Bob leaves. And I got some other questions in. And John Rager's been following some of the stories you've been writing. We want to kind of highlight those. And I want you to give me I'm selfish. I want you to give me an NCAA basketball update, buddy, since you're the former USA Today sports writer, too. So you cover. I don't trust your input, Bill Buttner. I trust Adam. He's got his finger on the pulse of every sport. Is that cool?
Yeah, I can hang around a little bit. Sure. Happy to.
All right. Well, we don't want to run you off yet since we got Adam at the top of the next hour. So what can we expect from you now? Book signings? You want to come down to Ferg's sometime? That's where our office. Come on down to Ferg's. I'm serious. Rick Vaughn did his book signing down there. I've probably and Peter Gallenbach just came down with his new book last Saturday.
Good.
We'll have you on our Saturday show and have you out front, especially right before a ball game would be a good
that'd
time.
Be great. I'd be happy to.
Yeah, let's get our information.
They're lining me up with a few of those things, so that'd be great.
Yeah, that would be good, and I guarantee you get a lot of response from the people walking in and go across the street to a ball game.
Excellent. I appreciate it.
So we've been listening to On the Tee Florida. We're talking to Bob Herrick, author of the book that's coming out, Drive, the Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Understand you can get that at thriftbooks.com. Anywhere else you can buy that book. It's coming out March 26th. Where can you buy this?
Pretty much anywhere. It's available on Amazon, and you can go to Barnes & Noble, and I think Target has it. So, if you order it online, all those places you can get it.
That's fantastic. Plus, you know, your other book's still kicking around out there. The golf's most fascinating rivalry, Tiger and Phil.
Correct.
And that had to be a lot of fun writing that.
It was.
Because there's probably a lot of stories behind.
Smart man, though. You go after Lefty and Tiger for your content.
That book needs another couple of chapters because they're on opposite ends of this kind of golf war right now.
Yes, they are. Well, we got to wind things down. It was a great hour, number one. We are live up here at the Valspar Championship poolside at Frenchie's. We'll be back. Hour number two. Bob Herrick, thanks for taking time to join us on the Tee Florida. And we'll be reaching out to you on a consistent basis. Just ask Adam. I bugged the hell out of the poor kid. We'll be back on the Tee Florida.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.